This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Freddy prepares for Origin 2 by losing his mind, the AFL lurched from one shambles to the next, and I reveal my new man crush. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit of the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find us on Instagram, FCTTBpodcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. Or you can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week was granted his AFL media pass. He's a man who is set to camp out for tickets to the 2020 Spice Girls concert. And tonight, he's wearing the new Gen 4 Fatbit. Welcome, Sid.
Well, thank you very much, former. It's crowded tonight in the Craig Gower Full Credit to the Boys studios. Due to our recent criticism of AFL in our hashtag Talk Other Games Down segments, we have two guys from AFL's Behavioural Awareness in the studio. They're just here to make sure we don't cross the line and offend anyone in tonight's show. Welcome, guys.
I wasn't sure whether they were from the AFL's Behavioural Awareness offices or whether they're just two Uber drivers, as Jeff Kennett tried to explain to me earlier this week.
I got more to say about Jeff Kennett later. But you've had a big week, former.
Yeah, I have.
You've been talking yourself up all week.
Well, as you probably know, Sid, all jokes aside, I have been in the gym.
You have. You're looking very fit, Thank you, my friend.
Well, funnily enough, you're not the first one to say that this week to me, because I was in...
Have you been wearing the Gen 4 Fatbit?
I got the Gen 5. It's the prototype. I was in Coles. I had my headphones on. This is a true story.
Yeah.
Listen away to a podcast. I believe it was Full Credit of the Boys. A very funny podcast.
Oh, it's great. It's really funny.
Anyway, this...
especially that Sid guy.
This girl comes up. Sounds sexy. This girl comes up. I'd say girl, I should say. Well, she's a lady. She's about our age.
Yeah. So she's young.
Yes, she is. Strikingly young.
And super attractive. Is she very much like me?
No.
Okay.
No. But... She said something to me, and I had the headphones on, so I said, oh, hang on. I pulled the headphones out. I said, sorry, what's that? And she said, did you used to play footy?
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%,
mad. I swear. Anyway, I said, yeah. I said, oh, look, a long time ago, you know, try to throw a bit of humility into it with a bit of a head wobble or whatever I was doing.
Oh, yeah, you're very modest.
But I was feeling pretty good at the time, you know. I was just thinking, as she came up to me, I'm thinking, geez, I feel strong. I feel good, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, oh, did you play footy? I said, yeah, I used to a while ago. I said, before when I had two good knees. And she goes, oh, looks like you could still play. And I said, oh, thanks very much. And you'd have to say that.
Look at you go.
Keep talking. And she said, I said, oh, yeah, the two knees. And she says, oh, she goes, your legs still look all right.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. I said, oh, thanks very much. Probably the best part of me. And she goes, oh, she says, and I, as I'm sitting here right now, she says, can I touch them? I said, I'm sorry? She said, can I touch your legs?
You're not telling me that she dropped to her knees and touched your legs.
Well, no, she reached out from her mobility scooter. And that is the God's honest truth. And I couldn't wait to ring you and say, you'd never guess what just happened.
But you wouldn't tell me what happened till now.
Just remind me. I've got a story to tell you. So she touched my legs. And I
thought that was going to go in a whole different direction.
I had to go home and tell the former cheerleader. I said, listen, this is what's just blown up. And she wouldn't believe me that she was in a mobility scooter, but just God is my witness, she was in a mobility scooter.
Was she touching your legs thinking, I remember these days?
Well, she nearly touched her toes over the top of that mobility scooter after we were finished, but anyway, there you go.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Still got it, Sid.
Wow, you do still have it. But you are looking fit.
Oh, thanks very much.
And your legs.
Oh, you want to touch
them? Can I touch them?
Yeah, of course you can. Not with your doodle. That's weird. First story comes from news.com.au. An 18-year-old with 7 sugar daddies says she loves to dress for them in exchange for cash and luxury gifts. Sid.
Okay, that sounds a bit creepy to me.
Well, college student Valentina, Tim, that's not her real name, has had a far more glamorous lifestyle than your average 18-year-old. The teenager, who features in a new BBC show, Secrets of Sugar Baby Dating, says she gets thousands of dollars a month from her 7 sugar daddies, some of whom are over 40.
Jeez, they do some good work, the BBC.
She enjoys dressing up as a schoolgirl, Sid, much like yourself. I mean, you spent a lot of your sex life dressed up as a schoolboy, didn't you?
Don't worry about what I do. My first sexual experience, I was dressed as a schoolboy.
And about 40 after him. She claims an average sugar baby can get about $5,500 a month from one man.
Whoa.
So with 7 on the go, Valentina could be raking in as much as $89,000 a month.
Wow.
As well as the money, Valentina, who is studying fashion at college, also has...
Of course she is.
Also has wardrobes packed with luxury goodies, with the most expensive items being gifts from older men. Now, just thinking out loud here, this might be something I'm interested in, Sid.
Well, what? You're going to get a sugar baby in?
No, no. What I'm saying is I'm willing to suck a few old men's cocks for 90 grand a month.
You might as well get paid for what you already do. That's what I always say.
Who would know how to do it better than me? How many times have I been called a cocksucker?
How many old men are in mobility scooters?
Can I touch them? Of course you can. Some items, such as designer dresses she wears out for dinner dates and cocktails, cost over $1,000. When I see something I like, I will gesture to him. I will touch him on the shoulder, not the leg, make eye contact. She touched me on the leg and pointed at a Turkish delight. I don't know what that was. I'll get you that. It's a dollar. It's on special. everything you do that is considered flirting, she said. I will make him associate shopping with sexual things because men are sexual creatures.
Yeah, men aren't shoppers, though. I don't know. I'm kind of going down your route. If some chick took me to Bunnings or the guitar shop, I'd be interested.
Well, all of this doesn't come for free, she says. The relationships with her sugar daddies are sexual, she admitted. But
there's a scoop.
But the men keep it interesting. Sometimes there is role-playing involved with men entertaining schoolgirl fantasies, but the fashionista, toss that around, claimed she enjoyed the dressing up. Of course I want to sleep with them. Of course I want to rip their clothes off, just like any other relationship. I enjoy it too. It's fun. I act like a schoolgirl. I am a schoolgirl. I'm at college, but you know what I mean. But despite the sex and the... That's the same voice I do, Former's Bedtime Story.
Yeah.
But despite the sex and the cash gifts, Valentina believes hers are just like any other relationships. She insists it is not the same as being an escort or a sex worker.
Well, it is.
I was going to say, you're getting money and gifts for sex. It's not like a sex worker.
Valentina does not...
That is ludicrous to say that that's like a sex worker.
Valentina, for all the cash she's earning, has not bought a dictionary.
Not strong on crosswords, old Timon.
Sure, she's still at school. She hasn't learnt that word yet.
9 letters, 2 words, someone who takes cash or money for sex. Not a sex worker, that's what that's not. While some of the men may be more than twice her age, the 18-year-old said she prefers older men.
Good for
Here
her.
Here we go. I can never level with boys my age because their motives are different to mine, she says. They would rather sit at home and play FIFA. Her favourite sugar daddy is 47, and she hopes to marry him when he retires, the show reveals, despite seeing him only 3 or 4 times a month. Usually when he...
Bullshit.
She sees him 3 or 4 times a month, usually when his wife is out of town. she is aware that men like the fact that she is young. Gee, she keeps saying that a lot.
Yeah.
They want a girl who injects youthfulness back into their lives. Aside from her current 7 sugar daddies, she dates men on a pay-per-meet basis for dinner and cocktails. After she calls it a night. I asked for a sum of money for the date, she said. Again, I say, Sid, this is nothing like a paid sex worker.
No, nothing like it.
It costs, she said, all the effort I've put into glammed up for them. If I like him and we get along, maybe there is a PSD, a potential sugar daddy. Ooh, geez, this is getting long, this story.
Yeah.
The site helps sugar babies attract young people, Valentina said. The one that she met these guys on called Seeking Arrangements, which has had more than 10 million members globally. Attractive young people seeking a luxurious lifestyle to meet sugar daddies, successful and wealthy men who enjoy attractive company.
It's much like our dating app.
Well, I was just about to say that. Is this something Robber's Dog dating site could look at? Sid, as sort of our own sort of sugar daddy arrangement. Obviously,
I think we could branch out.
Much like Robber's Dog, we'll have blokes that are worth less than $40,000 and chicks that don't score higher than a 4, and we can put them together.
Put them together.
In a not sex worker, pay per sex sort of system.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. No, there'll be no prostitution.
She says, the site says it claims to offer mutual beneficial relationships, which allow both sides to clearly state what they are after in a partner. Sugar babies get to experience a luxurious lifestyle and meet wealthy men, according to the site. Yada, 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 yada. One student tells the show's presenter, Tiffany Sweeney, that it is tempting to join. She says she believes sugar dating has become more popular with students, partly due to social media, showing them glamorous lifestyles that others have.
Yeah, I find this all very seedy, to be honest. 47 is way too old for an 18-year-old. 44 isn't. 47.
44 is right in the sweet spot.
That's that
is
right in that hitting zone, I reckon. But 47.
Weird.
That's creepy. I don't like it. Not because of the money, because I'm pretty rich. I could see myself doing this, but not in 3 years. That's
no,
creepy.
That's sick.
21-year-olds, why then?
FCTTV.
Not those used pieces of meat at 21. Guy tells girlfriend he slept with her mum after shocking realisation on way to meet parents.
That sounds awkward.
This comes
Where's this from?
TheMirror.co.uk. There are a lot of things that can go wrong when you meet your partner's parents for the first time. You can say the wrong thing and offend them, or you can simply decide they're not good enough for their perfect son or daughter.
Yeah.
But one man has had quite possibly the worst experience you've ever heard when he went to his girlfriend's home to meet her mum and dad for the first time. Sharing the horrifying story on Reddit, the man explained that he met a woman in a bar with live music and they hit it off. They spent time chatting and exchanged numbers. After a few texts, things went quiet. But they ran into each other again a week later and started talking. One thing led to another and he ended up going back with her to her house and spending the night.
This sounds like this could be the cornerstone of a amazing relationship.
Yes. Well, he writes, I noticed she was a lot older than me, maybe around 40. And much older than anyone I'd ever slept with before. I'm 21, so pretty much double my age. But she looked good, so I figured I'd learn a thing or two.
40 and 21, that's okay.
Yep, no.
It's okay.
Still in that sweet spot.
Yeah, still in that hitting zone.
All I've learned is how to regret more efficiently, he said. A few months later, the man, who didn't share his name, matched with a 19-year-old on Tinder, and they immediately hit it off. They started dating, and things went going well, and she invited him back to her house. He said, as I walked along the street, I noticed it's the same one as my previous bonk with the cougar. My heart sank when I watched this lovely girl turn and face me and said, this is me, while gesturing to the same door that I went through for a cheap one-night stand a few weeks earlier. I suddenly seen the resemblance in her and the one that I'd banged earlier.
Uh-oh.
Quickly, I compliment her house and ask her how long she had lived there, grasping at some flimsy straws. My whole life, pretty much, she said, just my parents, little sister, and the dog. Understandably, he was completely horrified, but he knew he had to tell her. He goes on, everyone was home. I knew this. I had to tell her. She was shocked. She was very shocked when she realized I wasn't joking when I got her mum's name right. But she got really weird when I casually mentioned that I cranked off her dog. But she didn't believe me until I got the name Lucky right as well. I knew she was level-headed from our first dates, so thankfully she understood and didn't attack me for it. We do agree we can't keep seeing each other, but I really did like her, which can be rare for me, so that really sucks. She didn't mention her parents' marriage, and I don't want to ask. I also don't know how things were going, but I do know the house was free a couple of months later. All as I know is that I fucked up. Now,
he did. He did fuck up.
This reminds me of a story.
Well, he still had the younger sister to go through before he should have admitted to any of this.
And you never know. On a dark, stormy night, Dad might have been quite the lover. He's 21. He's 47.
Perfect. right in that hitting zone. What story could this possibly remind you of?
Well, I remember I listened to a podcast and our favourite band, Steel Panther.
Oh, I love Steel Panther.
Their drummer's name is Stick Zadinia.
Yep.
And Sticks was saying...
Not sure it's his real name.
I mean, if he was due to be a drummer with Sticks as his name.
It's so, like when you call your son Jeeves, he's going to be a fucking chauffeur butler. But anyway, Sticks is in, yeah.
So Sticks says he was on his podcast I was listening to, and they got talking about groupies, and they said, "Have you ever had a mother and daughter?" And he said, "We actually had a competition," and he said, "Over the space of about, I think it was about 2 weeks, each one of them had the privilege or the honour of having a mother daughter threesome."
Wow!
And they thought their shit didn't stink. He said, "Until we started touring with Motley Crue," and he said, "We started talking." to Tommy Lee, and Tommy Lee said, "We had a competition to see who could have a mother, daughter, granddaughter deal." And he said, "Within 3 nights, all of us had knocked off."
No.
FCTTB.
See, I say no like it's a surprise. I've been playing in bands for years.
I mean,
standard.
The SKPs, they've gone through some grandmothers, haven't they?
Oh, most weekends.
That's it, mostly, but...
Oh, yeah. That is like my life story, except the other two generations.
Next story comes from thesun.co.uk, and it's blind man suing Playboy for not letting him enjoy its online magazine.
Good for him.
American Donald Nixon says the Playboy porn site is not compatible with his... This makes me laugh. His special screen reading software, and therefore it is discriminating against him.
Sue.
He claims it means Playboy is discriminating against him by violating the American with Disabilities Act. American Donald started a class action in a U.S. court to force the company to make its sites accessible to the blind. He also whacked in a claim for unspecified compensation.
How do you justify compensation? How do you monetize that? How much is he owed?
Have you ever had blue balls?
How much is he owed for this inconvenience?
Well, in court documents, he states blind and visually impaired people cannot fully and equally use or enjoy the facilities, products, and services. Screen readers let them access text via a speech synthesizer or braille display. Mm-hmm. His guide dog has also put in a compensation claim, saying a guide dog shouldn't have to do what he's had to do to try and explain to his master that there's a scene featuring oral sex playing out on the screen, adding that there's only so much peanut butter a dog can eat.
He's got a peanut allergy from all the peanut butter he's had to consume.
Anyone found guilty of violating the ADA faces fines of more than £78,000.
Wow.
Playboy has not commented. The lawsuit comes as the company auctions off founder Hugh Hefner's personal belongings today. His black silk pajamas, red smoking jacket, and white captain's hat are up for sale 14 months after his death.
You'd be washing those jammies.
Well, these were the clothes that Hef was wearing when he passed away. And in order to determine the cause of death, the coroner took urine, semen, blood, and feces samples all from the crotch of his pajamas. Now, that's right. Urine, semen, blood, and feces.
Go on. I had more jokes written for that, but you caught me by surprise there. Let's move on.
2019 round 14. It was celebrity boxing round, Sid.
What a great initiative.
Although, much like Cruz v. Bieber, it was called off before it could actually hit the ground running.
Yeah, but it was a good idea.
Well, Thursday, the Raiders hung on to beat the Sharks at Germcold Stadium 22 points to 20. Now, like a shot out of the gun, the Raiders hit a quick 20 points to nil lead after just 25 minutes as the Sharkies bumbled around with the ball, giving the home team great opportunity. And it had many punters fearing the Cronulla side could be blown out of the water. But over the next 30 minutes of play, the Sharkies found their groove, and by the 53rd minute, a Josh Dugan try incredibly levelled the game up, making for a gripping final 20 minutes. Both teams had chances before a Jared Croker penalty goal broke the deadlock for a crucial 2-point win to the Green Machine.
Yeah, what was with those stupid Sharks jerseys?
What was that about?
It looked like Penrith were out there. It's like when Newcastle used to play in their high-vis orange jerseys against West Tigers. Don't confuse me.
Yeah,
I'm right. A simple man with simple needs, and I don't need Cronulla wearing black and brown. Anyway, the Raiders flew out of the blocks in this one. with the second and third tries. I'm not sure if you noticed this. They were due to defensive lapses by your mate, Bronson Jerry.
Mm.
He can run, but he can't defend.
Or hide.
But then the brown, black and brown Sharks, they fought back. And I thought we would see a Ricky blow up, but the Raiders held on in this one.
Well, Jared Croker created history when he scored a try in the 24th minute to equal the all-time try scored for the club,
yep.
The Raiders. The Canberra captain's efforts had him draw level with Jason Croker on the club's record holders with 120 NRL tries. The captain had a great game, according to Full Group of the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, Fat Boy, 30 Chins Alex, and his unhygienic cousin, Rusty Prince Albert, knocking over five goals, 14 tackles, a line break, and two tackle busts.
He is an absolutely great clubman, Jared Croker. Sadly, he's not played for New South Wales or Australia. He played under 18s and under 21s for both. He's very unlucky to have never played for the Blues. He's played 244 games for the Raiders and is under contract next year as well. He should go on to play 300 games for the mighty Raiders if everything goes well. An absolute club champion.
And I've got to say, I've got a mate who's a very good mate of Jared's, mm-hmm. and cannot speak highly enough of him. Says he's an outstanding fella. Andrew Fifita faced a... faced a two-match ban for an early plea, or 3 weeks if he challenged the charge and was found guilty. The premiership-winning prop was charged with dangerous contact to the neck head for an eighth-minute incident involving Canberra's Ryan Sutton that would ultimately see him miss the Tonga v New Zealand Test and Tarago catch-up meeting.
He's absolutely desperate to play for Tonga this weekend, but let's be honest, the tackle was unnecessary. It was the last tackle in the set. Ryan Sutton was laying on the ground.
They were just losing their mind at that stage of the game, Cronulla.
It was a dangerous tackle. It's a stupid thing to do. And I don't think Fifita's head was in the right place because he was bamboozled by the fact that he was wearing a black and brown jersey. Stupid.
Friday, and the Titans went down to the Warriors at Bang Bus Super Stadium, 24 points to 20. Now, tries to Ken Mamalo and former Titan Carl Lawton had put the Warriors ahead before two tries in as many minutes for the hosts by Riley Jackson Brian Kelly cancelled out that advantage. A penalty goal before halftime, the Warriors ensured a 12-all scoreline at the break. The Titans then came out all guns blazing to start the second half, but despite their dominance, could only add a penalty goal to take a 14-12 lead. Until the 68th minute when Warriors captain Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was put in a gap by Blake Green, stepped around an on-rushing Nathan Peets to put the New Zealand team back in front. A second try to Mamalo, who ran for more than 200 metres overnight, extended that margin to 10 points with 5 minutes to play. Titans youngster AJ Brimson burnt past Peter Hickey to give the hosts some hope, but despite Adam Blair's late trip to the sin bin, they couldn't find points, and the Warriors claimed a 16th win out of their past 18 games against the Gold Coast.
Yeah, there were some good tries in this game from both teams. The Titans had an opportunity to snatch this one right at the death, but they ran around like chooks with no heads, and the Warriors held on for a good win.
Yeah. Now, it was Adam Blair's 300th game, and the Gold Coast fans came out en masse.
Didn't they?
The game almost was a sellout as 9,900 people showed up to share the momentous occasion. And the big man failed to disappoint, spending time in the sin bin on his way to a trademark 37 running metres. After the game, coach Tawira Nikau commented on Blair's recent form, saying, "He's had a tough old month. He played at Penrith Park a couple of weeks ago for the Canterbury Cup team, so you know he's had a bit of a challenge over the last month. But true to Blair, his form, he put his head down, knuckled down, and got on with what we wanted him to do."
Yeah, amazing stats from Adam Blair in this one. He's really revisiting the great form that Tigers fans know he's capable of. And a late dog shot on Roberts in the 80th minute got him binned.
And he now
faces a week suspension. It just topped off a great night for Blair and all the fans that turned up.
Well, according to Fulker of the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, Lionheart Harry and his less brave cousin, P. Hart Perry, it was a big game, including a try-scoring double for Ken Mamalo, where he also had two good, strong tackles, 217 running metres, two line breaks, and two tackle busts.
Yeah, it was a good win from the Warriors. Let's move on.
The Cowboys were demolished by the West Tigers at 1300 Smile Stadium, going down 27 points to 26.
This is the game I want to talk about.
The only thing uglier than the Tigers' victory was Benji Marshall's field goal, as the Tigers squandered a 20 points to 6 halftime lead to eventually require three shots at field goal in Golden Point to beat the Cowboys at 1300 Cousins. It's the fifth loss at home in eight games for North Queensland, who are equally as hungry for a win at this stage of the year.
I thought the Cowboys would come out all guns blazing, because they needed to win this game, but it was the Tigers that smashed them early to go up 18-0, but then tries just before and after halftime saw this game go down to the wire. I thought Corey Thompson had an up-and-down game. He did some great things, but he spilt the ball twice for Cowboys tries, but he did
save a try with a good tackle.
He did, indeed. And West Tigers in Golden Point did everything right. The run from Lawrence to get the quick play the ball in the lead up to the field goal was outstanding. We never win Golden Point, and even though it was an ugly drop goal, it went over.
It was ugly but beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Like a red-headed stepchild. The Cowboys were absolutely filthy after a penalty try was awarded to Michael Cheekham in the 73rd minute. Now, when referee Ben Cummins ruled the tackle of Cowboys 5'8", Jordan Kahu on the second row was way too high and caused him to drop the ball over the line. There's no way you can say that's a penalty try, said a clearly angered supercoach Paul Green. There's no way you can guarantee he's going to score that. And 5 minutes before that, Jordan Kahu almost gets his head taken off, and the ref says, no, round the shoulder. Same thing, and they get a penalty try.
Well, let me drop a grenade here. We haven't done this for a while. Paul Green is an idiot. The rule does not state that you have to guarantee he would have scored. It is the opinion of the ref. He fell over the try line. The video ref concluded that in his opinion, which is what the rule states, he would have scored but for the head high tackle. How is this different from the Fataylor Mariner penalty try later in the round for Canterbury? I don't understand what purpose it serves having the ref's boss come out after the weekend and say the two decisions went against the Cowboys. Esan Masters claimed that he grounded the ball off one of those Corey Thompson drops when the Cowboys were awarded a try. Was that an incorrect decision? Do we review that one? Well, no.
In Paul Green's world, that's irrelevant to
was
his argument.
Was the bullshit penalty to Taumalolo with seconds to go? You watch that tackle. He goes to the ground. They get off him real quick. And a penalty ensues. Do we review that? Does the ref's boss come out and say, actually, that shouldn't have been a penalty? That sent it to Golden Point. I hate the ref boss coming out and saying this stuff. There are a million decisions in a game that are made by the ref on the roll as it happens that all lead up to the end result. It serves no purpose in my mind picking out decisions and apologising to North Queensland. It is bullshit. That's all I got to say about that.
Strong, strong.
You like that?
Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab, two phones, Freddie and his simpler brother, Tins and Strings Steve, were saying that Michael,
he's simple folk,
Michael Morgan
Steve,
had a hell of a game. He made 15 tackles, had two try assists, 35 running metres, a line break and two tackle busts.
Yeah, but the ref's boss came out later and said that he'd made a couple of errors.
Saturday.
It's got me fired up, former.
And the Storm pumped the Knights at Ronrenkentut Park 34 points to 4.
They did.
Looking to win their seventh game on the trot, the Knights came crashing down to earth in Melbourne as the Storm piled on 6 tries to 1 in a lopsided smash-up. In front of more than 16,000 fans, the Storm knocked up their fifth win on the trot in a dominant home performance.
It was a dominant performance. They totally outplayed the Knights, who came into this one winning 6 on the trot. But it all came crashing back to earth for Knights fans. The Storm, way too good at home.
I backed that abomination of a team. I can't believe it.
I didn't.
Why did I back them?
I was 4 from 4.
Yeah, I tell you what, the wheels fell off like Ivan Cleary's bus there at one stage.
Yeah,
according to Full Credit Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Bullet Hole Barry and his toilet-dwelling brother, Glory Hole Gary, it was another Cameron.
I got more to say about Gary's later.
It was another Cameron Munster masterclass as the Queensland Origin star had a hand in four of the Storm's tries. In the end, the man they don't call the Adams family ended with 20 tackles, 3 try assists, 82 running metres and 5 tackle busts.
He was in absolutely everything, the man they call Eddie Munster. A one-on-one strip, great passing game all game, an intercept. He was on fire out there. Something I noticed in this game that I'm not sure a lot of commentators have picked up, Edric Lee, his legs are too long. He tripped over himself when Croft put a kick through. He got run down by Croft when he was just all legs and he broke away at one point. He's like a newborn foal out there. He's just all legs and it's not working for him.
The Knights were never really in this contest.
Why people tune in for that kind of rugby league analysis.
Breaking it down to simpler times. With young gun Kalen Ponga never a factor due to the stifling Storm defence, and Origin hopeful Mitchell Pearce was always under the pump whenever he had the ball in hand. It was an 18-0 before the Knights got on the board, but not even the biggest Knights tragic believed the comeback was on.
Yeah, and now Pearce has picked up a mystery hip leg injury he doesn't even know.
I'll get onto that later.
That will rule him out for what turns out to be just one game, Origin.
I'll get onto that later.
Okay, very unlucky. But I thought he had a great game this week. And then we laughed and laughed. He had a shocking game.
The Rabbitohs continued their horror run of form, going down to the Panthers at Shotgun Stadium, 19 points to 18. Off the back of a vintage James Maloney performance on his 33rd birthday, including the match-winning field goal, the Panthers won their fourth game on the trot. In fact, as Maloney put his name up on the headlights for Blues coach Freddie Fittler to choose him, mm-hmm. the incumbent New South Wales 5'8", Corey Walker, missed his own field goal in the 74th minute that eventually confined the Bunnies to their third loss in a row.
Yeah, well, I said before game one of Origin that if they were going to pick Cleary in the number 7 jersey, I would have Maloney in the 6. I'm on the record of saying that. I spoke to Freddie this week.
Oh, he's back talking to you. That's good. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, well, short. He was for a short time. He said he was going to take my advice. I said, look, if you're going to pick Cleary, you have to pick Maloney. Mm. And he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to pick Cleary. I'm like, actually, you're mishearing me. Don't pick Cleary. Don't pick either of them. And then he just hung up on me. So we're not on talking terms again.
Oh, it hasn't worked well then.
No.
With George Burgess joining brothers Sam with a shoulder and Tom suspended on the sidelines after being taken to hospital on Friday night with a stomach complaint, the Rabbitohs forward stocks were severely depleted. Wayne Bennett's men are now 4 points behind competition leaders Melbourne, while the Panthers have climbed to within 2 points of the top 8 seed.
Yeah, well, even though the Bunnies went into this game with no forwards, it was a good win for the Panthers, who, let's be honest, they're on a roll. They've now won 4 on the trot. Can you feel it, Former?
I can feel it.
Judas, I think, is really starting to work his magic.
Feel it all the way from my mobility scooter. While the Bunnies were busted for forwards.
Just Panthers, can't feel it below the waist.
Panthers prop James Tamau put his hand up for an Origin recall, I wouldn't think so, when he tallied 184 metres from 17 runs and made 23 tackles. But he was not alone, with Kickow good for 137 metres, Martin with 119 metres, and Fisher-Harris knocking up 100 metres.
Yeah. Look, they dominated the Bunnies in the forwards, sending them to their third loss in a row, as you said. And it doesn't get any easier for the Bunnies facing a rampaging Tigers team this week at West's Fortress.
What a horror draw.
Wankbest Stadium we're playing them at. We have a very good record there.
Oh, the jungle.
Yeah.
The Eels. Sure. The Eels hammered an out-of-sorts Broncos lineup at the West Tigers home ground, West Wankbest Stadium.
We got a good record there.
38 points to 10. Parramatta cemented a spot in the top 8 by punishing the Broncos in a 7-2 romp. The 38-10 win was the fourth time the Eels have scored more than 30 points this season, and the Eels' 26-0, 5-0 advantage at halftime was their biggest halftime lead in 14 years. It was a great reply to Supercoach Arthur, who labelled his team part-time players and soft after their 42-22 walloping by Cronulla last week.
Yeah, look, instead of calling them part-time players, he should probably stop having house parties with those players. But well, that's none of my business.
Start being a full-time coach.
After getting belted by the
Instead
Sharks.
Of being a part-time party planner.
After getting belted by the Sharks last week, they've bounced back the Eels.
It was a Tupperware party. I mean, we've all been to them. They're good fun.
He puts on a great party, B. Arthur. But that's none of my business. After getting belted by the Sharks last week.
Tim Manor got a cake tin.
Tim Manor's filthy. But they bounced back the Eels.
How much for this cake tin, he said. Oh, that's it. I'm out of here. That's bullshit.
Let's move on. They bounced back the Eels, smashing an insipid Broncos team.
They were.
There was a lot of chatter on social media from Broncos fans saying that some of their performances this year have been the worst in their history. Even worse than remember the Peter Griffin years and the Henjack days.
Oh, fun times.
They've now gone down to the Titans. They've now gone down to the Titans and Para the past 2 weeks. There were some soft tries scored by Parramatta, especially down the right hand defense of the Broncos, and they are very inconsistent, the Broncos, this year under Coach Seabom.
Well, it was a mixed night for Josh Hoffman, I said. He scored 2 tries, but in the 56th minute was taken off the field via the Medicab after copping an accidental knee to the head from bumbling teammate Mitchell Moses, who asked for the knee to Hoffman's head to be counted in his kicking meters stats.
He's a very tough defender, Moses.
But a tougher attacker. He's attacking kicking. Ask Hoffman.
It was an ugly scene when Hoffman was taken off on the Medicab with a neck injury from that Moses knee, with Supercoach B. Arthur later saying that it actually doesn't look as serious as they first suspected and that he will be fine to attend a massive party that B. Arthur is hosting for Origin this Sunday.
Apparently he's got a candle party this Sunday.
It's going to be huge.
Get the potpourri candles. They are winners.
It's going to be that busy that there'll be lines out the door.
Smell this one. Now smell it real close with one nostril.
They're going to sniff towards the top eight this year under B. Arthur.
Anthony Seabom was bitterly disappointed, and individually, collectively, we've let the club down tonight, he said after the game. This is our third Sydney trip this year, and we've been down 22-0 against the Roosters, 22-0 against the Rabbitohs, and 26-0 tonight. That comes down to poor individual preparation and an attitude thing, he said. We've got what we deserve tonight. We had 12 blokes with their rep bags already packed who were playing tonight, and that's where their heads were at tonight as well.
All I heard out of that was numbers thrown at me, stats. He loves stats, Seabom. I don't understand any of that. They've been shit, and they've been shit for a while, but apparently it's all about the stats.
The Broncos produced an early favourite for dumbest play of the season after they elected to take a penalty shot when down 26 points to nil.
What the hell was this about?
I got no idea. They found themselves awarded a penalty just before halftime, and Broncos skipper Darius Boyd, one of the great thinkers of the game, elected to take the shot. The head-scratching decision...
What was the score?
26-0. The head-scratching decision was made worse by the fact that Jermaine Asako proceeded to miss the opportunity to cut the deficit to 24. I reckon if they had have gone in and said to Seabom, you know, we just kicked the goal, we're only down by 24 now. Well, you can go a bit easier on us.
I think that's what they were thinking. We're only 4 converted tries away now from a draw.
But all he said was when they went in the sheds, they said, we just missed a goal. He goes, there's another stat we're down on.
You know what he said when they walked in? That was 60% chance of you kicking that, but 40% chance if you had have gone for a try that 30% of the time you would have scored 6% of the time.
Sunday, and the Seagulls annihilated the Dragons at Legoland, 34 points to 14. An early Dragons blitz seen the Red V head to an 8-0 lead as they dominated possession, but from there it was a Manly clinic as they piled on 34 straight points to blow the hapless St. George team out of the water.
They started strongly, the Dragons, but 2 tries from kicks from Manly saw Manly take the lead. The Dragons lost McGuinness through a head knock, which looked pretty bad. He was bleeding and everything. And then the St. George team we've grown to expect appeared. A simple barge over try from dummy half from Gudzewski.
Yep.
Then Cade Cust, who's my new favourite name, and Fainu scored tries both from Turbo Tom Busts. Then Tommy T scored one himself, and they absolutely demolished the Dragons. I picked the Dragons. I thought they were going to fight back here and win this one.
So did I, but
they did not.
Nothing.
No.
In what was just his second game back from injury, Tom Trbojevic announced he was back to his best, according to Full Group of the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, carjacking Charlie and his weird brother, bumjacking Jimmy. He finished with a try, 333 metres,
wow.
One try assist, two line breaks, two line break assists, 11 tackle busts, and five offloads.
He was dead set enormous in this game, as I thought DCE also had a good game.
I know, when I watched this game from Trbojevic, all I thought was, geez, he'd make a good centre.
That's what I was thinking.
He's a good fullback. We know he'd make a better centre.
You see how well he worked in the back line as a fullback, and you just think, next week, great centre. But Ruben Garrick also had a good game. It was a good all-round performance from the Eagles, who have, I think this year, they've really benefited from their new training facilities that Dez has implemented.
The Colour Bond of Excellence, or the Excellence of Colour Bond, or whatever it is.
Centre of Colour Bond.
Whatever. Now, whilst the result looks...
Why are we picking him at centre?
Oh, good, no. We had to get him in somewhere, he said. She's lucky the lock wasn't open or something. He would have been playing there. Whilst the result looks bad for the Dragons on paper, the Seagulls scored three tries off kicks.
Yeah.
A dummy half barge over, which only worth really half a try. Yeah. They also had one scored against them whilst they were returning a Dragons kick. So if you're going off that, going off the tried and true rugby league philosophy of McGregor thinking,
mm-hmm.
it was really only 2.5 tries to 2 on paper. Yeah. On the bad side for the Dragons, they've lost 6 of their last 7, have slumped to 13th, and are now 5-8, all because they lost a second roll over Christmas due to criminal charges.
You sound like Seabold right now. Really, if you add it up how it should be, the Dragons should have won 14-13.
Roosters imposed their will on the Bulldogs at Google Earth Stadium, 38-12. Now, putting a stop to a 3-loss streak, the Roosters ran right, scoring 7-2 to climb back into second spot on the ladder and illustrate the massive talent gap between the glitz and glamour of the Roosters and the piss and the poo of the Dogs, who have now lost 11 games in 2019.
Yeah, the Roosters, they never looked in trouble. Latrell Mitchell opened the scoring in this one and scored another try to play himself out of a Blues jersey. It was a dominant performance from the Roosters.
What do you think he would have had to do to get into the Blues side on Sunday?
I've got no idea.
Going off Freddie thinking, it would have been one of two ways. He would have had to score 9 tries or none.
Well, I just think
Two's middle of the range, not good enough.
I think all he had to do was be a better setter than Tom Trbojevic was, who wasn't playing setter. I've got no idea. I've got more to say about Freddie Fittler's choices later.
Do you think Latrell should have asked to be put at fullback?
I don't know, man. I think he should have just gone out there without any boots and just felt the grass between his toes.
Well, what about that? He walks around all week with blokes with their shoes off, but then the moment Ben Hunt throws Boyd Cordner's shoes into the crowd, Freddie loses his mind and says,
exactly.
Dirty play.
Yeah. They get the coach whisperer, and that's crazy. What's going on?
Well, Latrell Mitchell can hold his head high after a 2-try 18-point performance on his 22nd birthday, Sid. It was the game from Joseph Manu that caught the eye. Full credit the boys' backyard stats lab, head-kicking Carl and his brother full of willpower, smoke-kicking Craig. With some impressive numbers from Manu, he had 7 tackles, a try assist, 250 running metres, 2 line breaks and 9 tackle busts.
Yeah, well, the Roosters, they never looked in trouble in this
one. He's a fullback too, so he's got to play at centre for New South Wales.
Oh, he'll probably be named in Game 3 when we lose Game 2. But the Roosters never looked in trouble. It really was men against boys in this one. Roosters versus the Bulldogs. I can't believe that both teams have the same amount to spend under their salary cap. Tupanua scored a great try with his very first touch in the game and his first try of the season. And really, it was a non-event.
Well, despite being a long afternoon for Doggies fans, a couple of positives was the eye-catching debut from New Zealand captain Dalin Watin Zalesniak, who provided a new dimension attacking from fullback following his mid-season defection from Penrith, and a continual dangerous display from hooker Jeremy Marshall-King. Now, fellow Kiwi Kieran Foran also tried his heart out despite appearing to be not 100% healthy. But the sad reality
the bow
is...
bow legs.
Oh, biscuit legs. But the sad reality is... he's got Peter Sterling's legs. But the sad reality is the Bulldogs lack the class across the park to compete with the league heavyweights.
That is absolutely true. And Kronk, he got hit late in what seems to be a bit of a worrying trend creeping into the NRL at the moment. When halves run to the line and pass the ball, a lot of cheap shots hitting them late.
Mm. Yeah, I think enough said about Bulldogs for this year.
Yeah.
Not a whole heap of NRL news around this week because it's been mainly concentrating on Origin. But first news item came late last week, where Wallabies coach Michael Checker, from the Paul McGregor School of Coaching, says he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't pursue the best talent on offer. Checker on Friday claimed reports that he'd phoned NRL superstar Kalyn Ponga in a bid to lure him to rugby union were largely the media just making plenty of noise. But he stressed he also needed to protect rugby's integrity. Asked directly if the reports were simply hot air, Checker said, "No, listen, I would not be doing my job if I didn't speak to the best players around and say, mate, are you interested in playing? There's a bunch of guys who are playing NRL right now that have come through the rugby schools." Speaking at Randwick Rugby Club's annual luncheon in Sydney, Checker received a standing ovation from the crowd when he spoke passionately about keeping the likes of Ponga in the 15-man game.
Keeping him in the 15-man game.
I gather that means from when they were kids.
Yeah, he stood up.
Or maybe stop signing rugby league blokes and that would reward rugby union juniors who stay in the game.
You have the juniors. Get them up to the
seniors,
to the great crowds that rugby plays against.
Rugby. As
Raylan Castle should have been at that Randwick meeting in front of the 3 dozen people that stood up and cheered.
Oh, rah rah!
Kalyn Ponga would be stupid to turn his back on Newcastle,
mate. You know, like I. If they're going to throw the book at him money-wise, which I probably don't think they can now that Izzy's going to strip and bare of all their cash. But if they do have him to find some money to throw at Kalyn Ponga, rugby league aren't going to be able to compete money-wise.
No, you know what? You've convinced me. Kalyn Ponga should go to rugby. Imagine his career taking off.
Well,
it'll be amazing.
It's just a well-beaten path of success, isn't it? I mean,
yep.
No one ever comes back to rugby league once they go to rugby union.
No,
strip them of their cash and get the hell out of there.
Look at all the big name, big money players in rugby right now. There's
as fearlessly predicted by Sid Punce, the latest mail suggests Tim Manor will not be joining the Tigers. And will
is he not joining him?
Well, the mail says.
Yeah, that's my mail.
Will stay at the Eels for the rest of the season. Well, when I say the Eels, of course, I mean he'll be staying at Wentworthville.
Yeah, but on weekends, he'll be going to parties at B. Arthur's house.
Tupperware parties. Good day. Righto.
Innocent fun.
State of Origin Tour. This is where all the news has been at this week.
Certainly has.
We'll start from when the teams were picked. And Blues coach Brad Fittler has dropped superstar centre Latrell Mitchell while recalling several veterans among 7 changes for Origin 2, as Kevin Walters replaced just 2 injured forwards from the Maroons' series opening win. Now, Fittler swung the axe on Mitchell after a poor performance in New South Wales' 18-14 loss in Brisbane amid reports of a tumultuous change in representation looming as a major off-field distraction for the young Roosters centre.
Yeah, well, it was hard for him to keep his spot with such great centres playing amazing games this week, like Tommy T. There's been a lot of criticism from Freddie and his selections, but I actually met up with him this morning and had a chat to him about his selections.
What did he say?
Well, I asked him, do you reckon he's got it right? And this is what he said.
Is it breakfast time?
We nailed it.
Well, that's good enough for me.
He reckons he's nailed it.
In Latrell's place, Fittler has named Turbo Tom Trbojevic and recalled veteran Blake Ferguson. Jack Whiten is promoted to the centres in place of Josh Morris, with Dale Finucane Finucane coming onto the bench alongside fit again Wade Graham and Tarek Sims. Payne Haas was also ruled out with injury. We are one or two front rowers down, if you look at the side.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think seven changes, although if you listen to Triple M this morning, they're like, well, it's not seven changes because three were out injured, so it's only four changes. It's seven changes.
Seven, yeah.
It's seven yeah. out of 17.
I wouldn't want Triple M doing my tax return this year.
Out of 17 that Freddie said was the best 17, they've been training the house down. They're 2 weeks ahead of where they were last year, and we went and watched them last year,
yep.
and they looked impressive and it built it up. And I said they're going to dominate this year. We're at panic stations again. New South Wales
really
are in panic stations.
Really quickly after a four-point loss up there in Suncorp.
Exactly. There was an intercept and we had a chance at the end. But all of a sudden, depending on who you listen to, 3 to 7 changes and picking fullbacks in the centre position, where 3 weeks ago Latrell Mitchell was the greatest centre we've ever seen since Artie Beetson.
Mm.
Very, very strange from Freddie.
Well, speaking of Latrell, both him and Roosters teammate Angus Crichton learned about their dumping from the Blues side for Origin 2 whilst still on the SCG after their 38 points to 12 win over the Bulldogs on Sunday. Mitchell's informed by his New South Wales and Roosters skipper Boyd Cordner, while Crichton found out while doing a live radio interview after the game.
Well, I've got to tell you, this really gets my goat. Not sure if you could hear that. Someone sent me a goat through the mail the other day to full credit to the boys' P.O. box. This really gets my goat. It used to be a thing that after the round and maybe on the Sunday night late, New South Wales would announce their team. Queensland were always smart. They'd see our team and announce it a day later. But it seemed like everybody knew on Thursday, Friday who was going to be picked. And there's no build-up. They need to say that this is the announcement. This is when we're going to announce the team.
And not tell anyone.
Because players could come out knowing that they're going to play the following Sunday, it is this year, and they won't turn up for their club game because they're guaranteed.
I agree.
Other players are out there busting their balls with no chance.
Mm.
Ryan Madison was 18th man for last game.
He's 19th now, isn't he? This one. He's gone back one.
They've replaced...
Gutherson's been named today.
Replaced seven players and Madison still hasn't moved up the order. He's still 18th. And Clint Gutherson, fuck me. He's 19th, man. What's going on with New South Wales? Queensland supporters mock us mercilessly and I think they have every right to this year. This has gone to shit.
Well, after announcing Cody Walker was among the players dropped from the Origin side, the first question Freddie Fittler faced at last night's press conference was on the return of Panthers half James Maloney. Fittler responded, well, I rang Braith Anasta and he said he couldn't play, so Jimmy was the last 5'8 that was standing.
What the hell does that even mean?
No mention of Walker or what he has to do to regain an Origin berth.
What does Tommy Turbo have to do to play 5'8"?
Surely.
What the hell does that mean? He's the last man standing. That's a kick in the guts to so many people.
Poorly chosen words. I know Freddie likes to sort of keep things light and entertaining, but yeah, I don't think they were the best chosen
it's
words.
It's so weird. And I quizzed him about it, and he said this. Anyway.
Queensland coach Kevin Walters famously banned mention of the New South Wales or the Blues in the lead-up to Origin 1, and he's backed the same tactic in preparation to steal the series in Game 2 on Sunday. On advice from the coach whisperer, Walters has adopted an air of pure positivity, refusing to mention the opposition by name or speak of the team at all, at least publicly. In his first two press conferences for Queensland in the lead-up to Game 2 in Perth, Walters carefully dodged the taboo words, refusing to comment on the Blues' selection dramas and calling New South Wales the other state. I'm here to talk about Queensland and our team and how good the Queensland team is going to be in Game 2, he said. The other team have done what they've done, but that doesn't bother me one little bit. We're here to focus on Queensland and getting our game in order so that when we go out there on Sunday, we're ready. We've been very loyal. We have great belief in this team. The only changes that we've made have been forced, and we've got a lot of faith in this side, and they will get the job done.
He sounds like a crazy man. And then all of a sudden, Brad Fittler says... You think that's crazy?
Pass that shit here.
Hold my bong.
New South Wales legends Phil Gould and Paul Gallen clashed in a heated debate surrounding the Blues players.
What a hot duo they are. Welcome on the someone's show.
Yeah. Surrounding the Blues players' efforts levels in Origin 1. The fiery back and forth started when Gould criticised Brad Fittler's players for not giving their all in the 18-14 Game 1 loss. After a heated debate, Gould accepted that some players did give everything to the cause, but he stressed that there were others like Axe star Latrell Mitchell who didn't. Did Latrell Mitchell give 100% in that game? We'll go through the tape and I'll show you a lot of effort areas where he didn't. I think a lot of them do, but there were a couple who didn't. You've got to pay the penalty if you come in and you think you don't have to give 100% on the field. What's the problem if they look for someone else who can give 100%? However, Gallen insisted it was impossible to gauge the 22-year-old's effort levels, saying just because he didn't go out there and score three tries and make line breaks and tackle breaks, it didn't mean he didn't try 100%.
The one thing I learnt from Origin 1 was I don't watch Channel 9 very often for their commentary. I always watch it on Fox. Even Mrs. Sid's like, what the fuck is this shit? And Gus Gould absolutely pasted
Full Credit the Boys Latrell.
Oh, yeah. Remember that time we interviewed him? Jeez, he was open to it.
He was
early.
Up. He was up.
I find it bizarre that he was the greatest center a few weeks ago. Obviously, there's some issues going on, but I do not understand the selections this week. And if we lose...
Do you reckon Gus is pulling some strings?
I don't know. I don't know what Gus's motivations are. I'm not sure.
Two big injuries out of this week. Titans' Jai Arrow has a syndesmosis, which will mean he will miss the remainder of State of Origin series. He'll be out for 6 weeks. And Mitchell Pearce has a rare grade 2 origin avoidosmosis, which will see him miss 1 week of footy. It's also the same injury that struck down Jamie Lyon for a few weeks every year.
Johnson, the stepper! For the heavyweight championship of the world!
This is a famous victory. It's going to be our greatest goal.
Sports News.
AFL, the wheels on the bus. The Swans had the bye while the GWS caps lock Giants beat the Kangaroos in Tasmania by 4 goals. To move to second on the table.
Yeah, well, the Swans will be happy getting the points from the bye in what has been a terrible season so far. And the Caps Lock Giants are still sitting atop the AFL ladder. I think they're second after beating the Kangaroos in Tassie before a crowd of 7,832, which is like 50% of the population of Tassie.
Is that counting two heads or one?
Well, it's more than the total of all GWS games this year. Not if you ask the AFL media. But Tassie should have their own team instead of this pointless experiment in China. Just go to Tassie,
you can move
I
to,
say.
Move GWS and the Suns down there.
I'd definitely move the Suns down there.
But you'd have to rename them, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be. They wouldn't be the Hobart Suns. You wouldn't imagine.
You don't think so?
Nah.
No. What would you call it?
The Hillbillies? The Mountain Dwellers? The Cousin Kissers?
Look, the way AFL's going, I'm sure they're on top of this and they've already got their best people working on a name.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. And we start with Hawthorn star Ben Stratton, the captain, who has come under fire for repeatedly pinching Essendon players during Hawthorn's loss to the Bombers at Marvel Stadium. Stratton was caught on camera having a go at live wire Essendon forward Orazio Fantasia in a move that was clearly designed to annoy but might land the Hawk in some hot water. On Saturday, Stratton was torn to pieces by AFL commentator and Port Adelaide great Kane Corns, who said that.
Are you making up these names?
Nah.
Orazio Fantasia and Kane Corns?
Oh, I've got a story. About someone whose nickname is the Colonel. Who's very famous.
Go on.
Kane Corns.
I mean, go on in AFL. Don't tell that story. I've heard that story.
Who said the dirty tactic is proof the game needs to have a send-off rule that would have allowed the umpires to give Stratton his marching orders. This pinching is exactly why there should be a send-off rule in the AFL, Corns told SEN. A fine for this doesn't cut it. This is one of the most cowardly things I've seen.
Yeah, well, the NRL has a send-off rule when you strike the other player's face with a full swinging arm to the head. The AFL has a melee rule.
Yes.
And now they're going to introduce a pinching rule. Jesus, it's a tough sport. Jeez, AFL's going well. We joke about the hashtag talk other games down, but geez, it's easy to talk AFL down.
If they bring the pinch rule in, will you still be able to do it on the first day of the month?
Where does it stop? Melee rule, pinch rule, nipple cripple, smell the cheese rule.
Rules out any chance of Green Hackett joining the AFL. AFL, hashtag talk other games down. Amid the AFL crackdown on fan behavioural violence, a fight actually broke out at the end of Carlton versus Western Bulldogs.
Surely not.
At Marvel Stadium on Saturday night. How many fights this year has there been, you reckon?
Heaps.
Eight? Honestly.
Oh, I'd say, eight.
Video footage posted to social media showed Victoria Police getting between fans who were fighting each other after the siren, with one fan throwing a right hand over the top of an officer in an attempt to strike another man. An unknown fan then pours what appears to be beer, hopefully it was, on the police and the offending fans from the stand above. Footage showed behavioural awareness officers patrolling the stands as Seven's commentators compared their behaviour to that of prison guards as the AFL crackdown on fan behaviour continued. I don't know what is being said. I don't know what actions are being taken, but they don't need to be walking up and down corridors eyeing people off, Luke Darcy said on Fox. Fair dinkum, do we need to be walking up and down? Just let the people sit there and watch the footy, Matthew Richardson added. The scene came days after AFL CEO Gillon McLachlan, real sharp thinker, categorically denied...
Craig McLachlan's brother.
And a real people person.
Tough family, that one.
Categorically denied there was a crackdown on fan behaviour at the footy after a Carlton fan was shown the exit for allegedly calling umpire Matthew Nichols a ball-headed flog.
You can't say that.
A Richmond supporter was slapped with a three-game fan by the club after he allegedly called an umpire a green maggot.
Oh, cutting.
A Collingwood fan was spoken to by Victoria Police at the MCG on Monday for barracking too loudly, leading the AFL Fans Association to write to the league seeking clarification about what is and isn't acceptable behaviour by supporters.
It's out of control at the AFL. At the end of one of the games this week, I don't know which one it was, I didn't watch it, there was another fight between behavioural awareness officers and Victorian police because they didn't know who was in charge, so they punched on.
What about this scene on the ground where two players were fighting?
This has emerged today. Footage showing a security guard walking over to the boundary line where two players were wrestling on the ground.
And pinching.
And the security guard ran across to try and break them up.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what the hell that was going on.
Sit down, you flog.
But thankfully, Jeff Kennett cleared it all up for us and explained what the hell's going on in AFL.
And I'm not being racist when I say this, but when I saw some of the footage, the people who are making judgments while they wear these authoritative coats are not people who appear to have a great knowledge of our game, and yet they make judgments about what's correct and what's not correct.
What do you mean they appear to be of ethnic background?
Well, they're new arrivals to Australia, it appears.
We don't know that.
We don't know that, and they could be born here. Yeah. All I'm saying is the sporting arena is where people relax, where they support their tribe.
I'm not racist. But
you know someone's not racist when they say, I'm not racist, but. Hot take from Kennett.
Like you said before, a former premier of their state.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the outburst if that was Peter Beattie that said, put those words together on radio?
Former premier.
Former premier.
Head of rugby league.
Imagine that.
We have a former Premier of Victoria and a spokesperson for AFL.
Well, he's the boss of, he's the boss of the Hawks.
He's doing a great job.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure. That,
he's actually come out this week saying the Hawks will only, they're going to change their colours. And he's not sure how they change it because he hates brown and yellow. So he's trying to find...
And he certainly won't be black and white.
He just wants the Hawks to run out in all white.
And hoods.
What's going on at AFL?
Oh, the wheels are falling off. But you know what? If you ask any AFL fan, oh, what about rugby league with you sticking your fingers up each other's asses and pissing in your mouth? What about that?
The summer from hell.
Oh, we're the most livable city in the world. Yeah, we know, mate. We're not arguing any of those points. We won't argue the points about Hopper and Carney either. We know.
That happened.
Yeah. But unlike you guys, we won't be pushing anything under the carpet either. Soccer. Hashtag talk other games down. You will love this story. Have you got this on the rundown?
No.
Sit back and listen.
I've got very little on the rundown tonight.
Sit back and listen to this. Spain's data protection agency has fined La Liga, which is basically like the NRL, but
yes,
soccer terms in Spain.
I know La Liga.
The nation's top professional soccer league, €250,000 for using the league's phone app to spy on its fans. With millions of downloads, the app was reportedly being used to survey bars in an effort to catch establishments playing matches on televisions without a license. Much like over here.
Wow.
For a pub to have Fox, you don't just pay for your home Fox at $50 a month.
Costs a lot.
Yeah, it can cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
It's since some RSLs broke.
Yeah, that's right.
Lately.
And so over there, very similar thing. And La Liga were concerned that some establishments were illegally playing their matches without paying the full freight. So according to Spanish newspaper El Pas, the league told authorities that when its apps detected users were in bars, the apps would record audio through phone microphones.
Jesus.
Gets worse, don't worry. The apps would then use the recording to determine if the user was watching a game using technology that's similar to Shazam. If a game was playing in the vicinity, officials would then be able to determine if that bar location had a license to play the game. So not only was the app spying on fans, it was also turning those fans into unwitting narcs. El Diario reports that the app has been downloaded a mere 10 million times. Though very similar to the Full Credit to Boys app.
Well, this is a good time for me to advertise. Full Credit to Boys has their own app.
And we'll be spying on you through your microphone.
We know what you're doing. You dirty masturbating bastards.
Put it away.
I'm sick of hearing it.
Get some cream or something. Goodness God. Anyway, though La Liga admitted the app did record through users' phones, the league insisted the users had the option to opt out of allowing the app to track phone location and access
sick.
To the microphone. The league told El Diario that the app automatically turns the audio into a code that is not stored or listened to by its employees.
Disgusting.
The app's terms of conditions fine print does explain that the bugging is optional, and you do have the option to change your settings to stop it from occurring.
Seriously, that's disgusting. Our app does not have those options to opt out of that. We're spying on you all the time.
Yeah.
Go download it. It's only $1.49.
Just go through your porn cookies. Strongman. American Martin Lissis is the new strongest man on the planet after taking out the 2019 World Strongest Man event in Florida.
See, he says he's the strongest man. I didn't enter.
No, that's right. The 29-year-old had never previously finished in the top three of the iconic annual event. But
same as me.
Just his fourth try, he did enough to topple the mountain from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, nice.
Hathor Julius Bjornsson. Lissis did
it. Big unit.
Lissis did it despite weighing in 50 kilos lighter than the 200-kilo beast showcased on the hit TV show.
That's not that heavy.
And boxing. My current man crush.
Oh.
Tyson Fury.
This is not even on the running sheet, but I know what you're going to say.
You have a
man crush.
He put on a boxing masterclass to beat...
You showed me this before the show.
To beat German Tom Schwartz. Now, entering the ring in the same costume and the same song as Apollo Creed did in Rocky IV,
yep.
Fury began the fight in round one with an easy 10-9 decision.
Ironic that he walked in on that.
Yeah, well, poor Apollo well, he looked like Mundine at the end of the Ben Otke fight. He's laying down on the mat asleep, but he didn't wake
up. Well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen
sorry,
it.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. That's a bad scene too, by the way.
Yeah.
Fury began the fight in round one with an easy 10-9 decision before coming out in the second round and started fighting southpaw. Now, if you don't know about boxing, you fight normally, which is a right-handed way, so your left hand goes out in front from your right from behind. But he came out in the second round, and as hard as it is for anyone who's not a full-time boxer to think, he led with his right, with his left.
Completely the opposite.
Opposite. Unbelievable. And
it's like facing an over right-handed batsman, top of the order,
yeah,
against a new ball.
And then deciding.
And then the second over.
Go left-handed.
I'm just going to bat left-handed.
Yeah, and that's
what?
That's exactly what it is. It's mind-blowing.
It's absurd.
So he came out and fought southpaw and knocked Schwartz on his ass to win the fight by TKO. Now, better to that, after the fight, he serenaded his wife to the song from, what was that stupid movie about the meteor that's going to hit the...
Don't want to close my eyes. Yeah, was the Aerosmith one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he sung...
Was that Bruce Willis?
Sung that song to his... is it called Armageddon?
Yeah, Armageddon.
So yeah,
that was stupid.
He sung that song to his wife. This is all after the fight. And then in the press conference after the fight, he actually said to Tom Schwartz, in all seriousness, you're a fighter. You should be proud of the way you fought. And if you want to fight properly, I'm inviting you to come and train with me. I love this bloke. I love him
sure,
so much.
Sure, I totally dominated you. Left-handed even. Come and train with me. I'll make you a better fighter.
But he was serious. He wasn't being an arsehole.
No, he wasn't. The balls on this guy are amazing. And his left ball is as good as his right ball.
Shaved both of them.
I can lay you awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping. While you're far away and dreaming. I can spend my life. In this sweet surrender, I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure forever and ever. And I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I love you, babe. And I don't. America!
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals, or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
It's unusual to head from the second best song on this show to the best song, but here's the best song this show has ever written.
I want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways.
What about that Tim Bailey song?
No message.
Number three.
Be
with a bullet.
Any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
That's right, it's Grab a Mirror time. Don't forget,
the greatest podcasting segment.
Easy
segment
for you to say.
In all of the land.
Choked up.
Yeah.
A bit emotional. Don't forget, you can reply to my first tweet about Grab a Mirror on Tuesdays. Tuesdays only, around 7:30. I'll then do a follow-up tweet around 3:30. That is your last chance. Hashtag it with hashtag Grab a Mirror or hashtag GAM. Sid, I'm going to go first.
Why don't you go first?
Grab a Mirror, Florida man. That's the way most good stories start. Florida
yes.
man, Holden Hiscock. Holden, 35, is charged with burglary of an occupied dwelling, criminal mischief, and petty thief, Sid.
Mm.
Now, according to a police report, Hiscock was seen acting suspiciously on Thursday around 1:25 a.m. When an officer confronted him, he was riding his bike, like most people do at 1:25 a.m.
That's what I do most nights.
No one's anything weird at 1:25 a.m. on their bike.
Why are the cops pestering this guy?
They said he admitted to having deflated pool floats in a bag he was carrying. Now, in the past 7 months...
Is that a crime?
Well, it gets better. The past 7 months, the city of Palm Bay has been plagued with burglaries in which the suspect cuts the screen or otherwise enters a victim's back pool deck area and steals only pool floats, the report reads. Now, officers say that Hiscock admitted to going into victims' backyards and stealing their pool toys. About 75 floats were found in Hiscock's possession.
What a weirdo. I mean,
75 floats. He's got a real harem there, Sid, because he says...
He's nearly got a Mardi Gras.
Hiscock has said that he stated he sexually gratifies himself with the pool floats instead of raping women. That's what they should have given Bill Cosby.
Have a pool pony, Bill. Stop being an asshole.
Holden said he loves the blow-up toys, even when they go down on him. Equal
10.
Brendan.
Isn't Twitter a better place now? Bill Cosby's on there.
Oh, and Juice. Juice is there.
And the Juice.
As long as he doesn't get stabby, he's all right. At Brandon Vaudry says, grab a mirror.
He's going to be at the live show.
Any creditor that isn't coming to the Full Credit the Boys live show at Penshurst RSL on Penshurst Street Road, Penshurst. When you're sitting there on Sunday with a shit beer surrounded by shit people in your shit house, just remember where you could have been. Hashtag might have a beer. Hashtag coming alone, much like most of my sex life.
That's the name of your sex tape. It's going to be a massive day
coming
on
alone.
Sunday.
It's also my autobiography.
There's still tickets available, so become a member.
Ooh, you'd have to hurry, you'd imagine.
Yeah, you got to hurry.
Equal 10.
I like this one. At Netball Cairo. It's like the poor man's NRL physio.
It's a big fan of the show, Netball Cairo.
Hashtag grab a mirror. Eon Tyriac for having a crack at Ash Barty for being poor. Basically, he says that Ash Barty is the worst Grand Slam champion in the last whatever years.
Why?
Well, I don't know. But anyway, Netball Cairo says, Eon, you won a solitary double tournament until I read this article. I'd never heard of you, you enormous flog. To which Netball Cairo then added, grab a mirror of me, as I didn't realise that Eon Tyriac was a member of the Russian Mafia. It's nice. Been nice knowing you all.
They actually replied to their own tweet.
Yeah.
And they got two entries.
Yeah, that's right.
Good job.
Equal 10.
At NRL_theprofits says, grab a mirror. Craig Bellamy, Tim Sheens, Mick Potter, the Scarecrow, Anthony Griffin, the Big Wheezy, and Stephen Kearney. You bastards all contributed to Adam Blair somehow managing to play 300 NRL games.
Hashtag That's true.
Always welcome on the show. Hashtag running in circles. Hashtag myth.
There was 9 legs of those coaches contributed to that.
Equal 10.
If my maths are correct.
At blocked user 2217 says, grab a mirror. The magnificent dodgy bastard still making money flogging in inverted commas, wipe on sex appeal in pub dunnies.
Oh,
convincing the 2 a.m. desperados that they can pull a root simply by releasing the pheromones from a repackaged KFC towelette is an ongoing masterstroke. Hashtag line up ladies.
I'm thinking block user has spent a lot of money on those over the years.
With not much success. He needs to find himself a little motorized scooter. User?
Equal 10.
At Andrew RLP says, grab a mirror, Jeff, in inverted commas, I'm not racist, but can it?
Yes.
Blaming security staff and not the morons acting like dickhats in the crowds at AFL games is the dumbest shit said by a Victorian. Well, at least for this week anyway.
Exactly. Stay tuned for next week's episode.
9.
Hey, we're up to 9.
Beerboy 182 says, grab a mirror. My
Beerboy will be there next week.
My oldies idiot neighbour for sulking that their pool overfilling was the reason why his basement flooded last week. we had to explain to the dopey arsehat that pool was actually catching the first 2,000 litres of rain compared to if it was flat cement. Hashtag still wanted to call council.
Eight.
At Mr. Barjas, who's not going to be there.
No, he's not going to be there.
Hashtag grab a mirror.
But he's contributed
to
the show.
You'll see results of that on the day.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Hashtag grab a mirror, New South Wales Rugby League. Not only do you panic and chop and change players after a four-point loss, you can't even be loyal and stick to one jersey for three games. No wonder your backup players are pulling out with injuries.
Exactly.
Origin of audioitis.
Where am I? Here we go.
Seven.
Sparty Talkback says, grab a mirror aioli. It's just mayonnaise with an exotic name, and it certainly hasn't made its way up through the grades to receive top condiment billing. Aioli is the equivalent of people who don't pronounce the H in Anthony.
But I do like the little bit in the middle of the aioli, the nipple.
Six.
If it's not if it's got a ring through it.
It's delicious.
At Todd Greasley, the greaser, the chip, the monkey.
He'll be there as well on Sunday.
Danny Zuko says, grab a mirror, hashtag origin. I love you for three lots of 80 minutes a year, but the carry-on that comes with it from the absolute dribblers is starting to take away from the pinnacle of the game. Hashtag armchair coaches, hashtag shithouse journos, hashtag that one is all year round. Hashtag actually journos need to fuck right off. Hashtag up the blues. Hashtag New South Wales 24/8.
That's a lot of hashtags, but I agree with you, greaser.
Five.
At Hex Reel says, grab a mirror, rainbows. No tradie has ever wanted to celebrate the loss of rain day. Whose side are you on anyway? Hashtag fucking management. Hashtag pull your joyful head in. Hashtag smoke goes over. Hashtag pot of gold my ass.
Four.
This one. Hashtag grab a mirror says at mgraz 2005. Really rolls off the tongue. That
was a great year though, 2005. Been rebuilding ever since.
Flick pass. Hashtag.
That was going to be a dynasty.
Grab a mirror, Billy Slater, says mgraz 2005. You Muppet, you Princess, you Softcock. Wearing pensioner gloves at Bruce Stadium for the bullshit halftime chit-chat. Harden up, you grub. Hashtag Gary Jack was better. Hashtag not an immortal. Hashtag pretty boy, not tough. I will say it had nothing to do with the weather. Billy was celebrating the juice being on Twitter.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Google that. Can I have a go?
Yeah, go. All
right. Grab a mirror, England. This is the country that brought us cricket, rugby, tennis, all sports they're no good at anymore.
Golf.
But they seem to have a major problem sneaking up on them. Forget Brexit. Don't worry that they don't currently have a prime minister or the fact that every single citizen there has bad teeth, a new national emergency is occurring in Britain. Due to parents giving their male children stupid names, such as Noah, Kyle, Archie, or Jon Snow, there will be no blokes named Gary in the UK by the year 2050.
Well, this is outrageous.
This is a national emergency. Where would the world be without the great entertainers of our lifetime, like Gary Busey, Gary Glitter?
Not your best example.
Or Gary Coleman.
Rest in peace.
Or sporting stars and drug addicts like Gary Ablett, senior.
Yes.
Or what about the famous In Excess guitarist who was so amazing and awesome, they named him Gary twice. Gary Beers. This is a national disgrace, England. Please name your sons Gary. We don't need any more Olivers, Georges, Harrys, or Muhammads. We need more Garys. Grab a mirror, UK.
Good points. Solid points. Solid names too you come up with there.
Did you think so?
Mm. Definitely no Olivers.
We don't need any more Olivers. What about the kid? What about the Beers family?
Gary Beers. What's that about? Another news?
Gary Beers, one of my all-time idols.
Why? Why is that?
If your surname's Beers, you have so many options and all they could come up with two Garys.
What would your name be if your last name was Beers?
Oh, well, looking at me, it wouldn't be Light Beers. Just thought I'd get in before you did. Who's got number three this week?
Three.
At Dogstar underscore 01. Grab a mirror, Chock Mundine, for your inexcusable lack of a tirade on the Latrell / Cody origin snub. This was a deluxe opportunity for relevance, deprivation, grandstanding, and all we get from you is crickets. Hashtag, are you okay?
That is
bloody good point.
That is 100% true. Thankfully, Mark Latham took up the slack.
The steady hand of Latham.
It was a racist decision to replace two Aboriginal players with three other Aboriginal players. You dickhead.
Two.
At Efficient, not Lazy, who will also be at the live show.
He'll be there.
Grab a mirror, Chanchal Lahiri.
Who?
You dopey bastard. If Houdini couldn't get himself out of...
I know where this is going.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Indian stuntman missing after attempting Harry Houdini's last ever escape attempt. Chanchal Lahiri, you dopey bastard. If Houdini couldn't get himself out, what chance do you reckon you've had? Indians should leave the magic to at IMV Kohli. The magnificent bastard. Magically convincing me to fall in love with him. Hashtag man crush. Hashtag I take it all back.
You redeemed yourself there.
One.
Who got number one this week, former?
At Two Flies Punting says, grab a mirror of the uni that gave hard-ons a rating from last week's show. I reckon it's true if used in the right context. Reese Witherspoon, a grade 2 hard-on. Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, a grade 4 stiffy. Mm-hmm. Denise Richards in The Pool with Neve Campbell in Wild Things, grade 5 hard-on.
Yeah.
Hashtag Pornhub, grade 8.
I thought he was going to go all the way through to 100 there. But thank you for your grab a mirror.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Full credit to the boys, 2019 memberships, available now. Only $35, free postage. You get a Coldy holder, lanyard, members card, key ring, sticker and magnet. It's the only way to get an invite to the live show. Go to www.fullcredittotheboys.bigcartel.com. Do it now. It's going to be a massive live show on Sunday. There's still time to get tickets.
I felt like this episode
has
been, you know, the walk in the park. You always see them film the Origin boys do before the afternoon of the game.
Before the big game.
That's what I feel like this has been. We didn't want to risk injuries. We weren't going to do any ball work. We didn't want to show anyone our big moves before we go out in the field on Sunday.
I already found out yesterday that I'm going to be performing on Sunday, so I don't want to injure myself tonight.
Well, I was going to be there, but I've been dropped and Tom Trbojevic is going to be at the live show.
The live show is going to be enormous.
I'll tell you one bloke who can't wait because he messaged me about 98 times today.
Who?
N. Breen.
Yeah, he has been on the blower to you all day.
On the go. He cannot wait. I said, what stories are you going to bring? He said, how many do you want? He said, I'll give you anything you want from any of the last few Origin camps. I've got some beautiful Wayne Bennett stories that will please. I said, don't forget, there's no phones. You can say whatever you want.
I think you actually said to him, how many stories do you want to tell? And he's like, well, I've got 100 to 1,000. How long have I got? It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's heaps better than last year.
I'm telling you now, too.
We were rookies last year. We've learnt from our mistakes.
Do not miss the first 15 minutes of the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is enormous.
So the club opens, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the morning. I think Milram's already camping out there, out the front.
like you waiting for Spice Girl tickets. He's under a blanket out the front of the box tickets.
I was so excited when the Spice Girls said that they were going to tour Sydney. That's not going to happen now. But we are definitely going to be there on Sunday. So
doors open at 11:30.
Yeah, 11:30, get there. But it's going to be a kickoff right on cue on 12. And you do not want to miss the beginning of the show. I showed Former some of the stuff that I've got planned. And if he's laughing, we're all going to laugh. It's amazing. It's going to be great.
Also,
and heaps of guests.
We also have, well, it's a monster announcement that we'll announce at the live show for the first time ever.
Yes.
It is, well, it's probably the biggest thing this show's ever done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say too much.
And also, we've been working on a guest for the last 2 weeks. There's been a fair bit of back and forth. And today he rang Sid.
Yes.
And confirmed he's in for our next show.
He's definitely in.
Keen too?
Oh, very keen.
I will say this. This is our biggest guest.
Yeah, he just, we sent him messages, what, about a week or so ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And my phone rang today and he's like, hey, is that Sid? I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yep.
But we will go down that road after our live show. So tickets are still available. Go to www.fullcredittotheboys.bigcartel.com. We will have tickets available all the way through till probably Thursday. And then we'll cut it off because we need to know numbers. But it's going to be massive. It's going to be bigger than last year.
Enormous.
For sure.
Like I said, don't miss the first 10 minutes.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boy sack mail and feedback time, Sid. It's been a light week on mail and feedback, but
there's been no feedback.
We always like to catch up, or one of us likes to catch up with how the West Wales waiters.
You've given up on them, haven't you?
Yeah, they're rubbish.
I have not.
They are rubbish.
Let me give you an update. It's exciting.
West Wales waiters, we rule the rugby league world.
This week, the West Wales waiters jumped to an early lead. And we're up 6-0 in their clash with the London Scallops. But a field goal late in the dying minutes of this game saw the Scallops get up 51-6.
West Wales waiters, we rule the rugby league world.
Don't give up on them, man. We're close.
They're horrible. All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Like I said, it feels like it's been a bit of a light ball session before a big game tonight.
I haven't overexerted myself.
No, that's one thing for sure. We will see you on Sunday.
If you're not coming on Sunday, I don't even want to talk to you right now.
You're missing out. You're missing out horribly. We'll see you on Sunday. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Origin. Go the Blues. Thanks to Queensland and every Queenslander that's given us some advice and some tips on who we should have picked and where
we've taken that on board, haven't we?
Oh, they've been so helpful.
Gordon Tullis was a genius.
Oh, never ends.
Gordon.
Yeah. See you Sunday. If not, you'll hear from us on Tuesday with a bit of a wrap up.
You know what? Maybe not.
Maybe not. We're
not
sure.
If you don't turn up on Sunday, I'm brushing all of you.
Yeah, we might be given a week off from the coach. Until then, talk to you soon and. As they always say in the classic, Sid.
Yeah, what do they say? I'm not sure you even know right now. What do they say?
They say,
ta-da!
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
Keep going.
You have been the one for me. Goodbye, my lover.
I think this is the one time a
goodbye,
cover has
my friend.
Been better than the original.
You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?